Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
We just don't stress about it. Well, last week, we started in a series. Actually, not a series. What happened last week is I shared the vision and shared my testimony about how I got saved, how the Lord led me to a relationship with Him. And I'm not going to go through all that again, but I tied it into the vision of the church. Because we're in a new location, because we will have more and more new people coming, it will help you to know it. And I can kind of preach anything anyway. So it'll tie in together well and help you understand. Plus, moving into the new building, the Lord really has helped me understand more about why we named the church what we did. You know, I've found this out. With things with God, they kind of, they, for lack of a better word, evolve over time. Now, God never changes, okay? But what I've found is that the longer that you have a relationship with Him, the more you gain understanding about things. You know what I mean? So it's a lot the same in the natural. In the sense of the longer, I don't know if you've noticed this with your kids, but the older they get, the more they realize they can do. You know? Like my son, the older he gets, the more he realizes how much stronger he is or how he can do certain things. Whereas, you know, you go from crawling to running and jumping over the chair, you know what I mean, to get to your seat, rather than just crawling and trying to get up next to the, you know, at the coffee table or whatever. In other words, you develop and you learn more about what you have capability to do as you develop and grow as a natural person. And the same thing should be true spiritually. It's the exact same principle. As you develop spiritually, which there's only one way to do that, and that's in relationship with Him, feeding on His Word, and being a part of the things that He's called you to be a part of, and then putting those things into practice. You know, everybody in here has the potential to be a bodybuilder. Not one amen on that. Y'all don't believe, huh? Now, everybody has the potential. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, young or old. You have the potential because you have muscle. Now, some of you have more than others. Okay? And that's for whatever reason. Some people sit at a desk all day. I do not sit at a desk all day. Okay, so I work construction. Well, yesterday I found muscles that I didn't have before. Well, maybe they were there, but they just got woken up. Because when you haul boxes of mud and a mobile texture machine up and down stairs, you know, down in and then back up when you're done, you find out that, oh, there's muscles right there. You know, there's muscles in your back when you're picking something up and you go, oh, hey, there it is. And you can feel that tension. Well, everybody has muscles. You have the potential to be as strong or as weak as you desire, naturally speaking. The same is true spiritually. It's the exact same spiritually. Okay, and so you just have to learn how to operate in cooperation with the Lord and use your spiritual muscles to develop strength in the spirit. Now that can be tough for some people because they're so naturally minded. You know, everything's about what they can see. But God is a spirit. You can't see Him. Now you can see His effects. How many have seen the wind before? You can't see the wind. My wife's seen it, but she can't see it. I know what she's saying. What you see is the effects of the wind. You don't actually see wind. You can't see wind. You can't. The only way that you can see, like even your breath, unless it's cold enough, you can't see it. And even then, it disappears. You know what I mean? Wind is the same way. How do you know when wind is blowing? The trees move, the leaves move, the dirt moves. I haven't been in a dusty field before, and you're going like that. You know what I mean? Because it gets in your eyes. You can feel the effects of it. And that's how you know that, or you can feel and see the effects of it. That's how you know the wind is blowing, but you don't see wind. Well, spiritual things are the exact same. Depending on what is coming out of you, depending on what has been produced in your life, it had a spiritual effect. It had a spiritual background. Okay? So this is what we're here for. This is what the church is here for, to introduce people to Jesus, to help them grow in their relationship with God, to help them develop in serving and living for God, and then to help you as a church share that experience of Christ in your life with other people. And so this morning, I want to continue on. I shared a little bit of my testimony last week, and if you want to hear it, you can go online and listen to it. But our four things are, we see a church where people can come to experience God's love through life in Christ. That's like the break-in, you know what I mean? How many, the first time you ever hear God loved you, and you're going, yeah, right, nobody can love me, you know? Or maybe it was like, oh, great, yeah, great, this is great. He loves me. What did I do? Well, the truth of the matter is you were his enemy, and he loved you anyways. That's the truth. We all were. We were all in that place of being his enemy. And then you hear about the God's love, and you hear about the life that is available in Jesus, and you hear about the love of God, and you get into a relationship with him. That's our first kind of goal of the church, I guess, for lack of a better term. And then we see a church where people can grow in their relationship with God through life in Christ. You're supposed to develop. You know, if you were married to somebody and never got to know them any better, something's wrong. There's something wrong. Something's got to change. Because in a relationship, you're supposed to grow together and develop, and you get to know somebody more and more and more. And somebody, you know, in marriage, maybe that's not the best way to give an example. Sometimes you find out things, you're like, where was that when we were dating? You know what I mean? Well, it was trapped up in a cage, hidden, where you couldn't see it. It just comes out later. Well, you get an opportunity to grow. Amen? That's what you get. We see a church where people can come to discover, develop, and serve through life in Christ. If you're going to grow spiritually, you have to serve. You have to do something. I don't care if it's stand by the door and go, hi. Hi. Glad you're here. And if you're going to grow, you need to do something. You need to work for the Lord. People are like, well, we're not into earning our salvation. I'm not into earning it either, but I'm in the family. I work. Come on. My kids don't have to earn the food they eat. They can open the fridge. They don't have to get a special permission from me to open the fridge and see what's in there and pick something. You understand what I'm saying? Unless it's ice cream. Okay, there's sweets. You know what I mean? They don't have to go, oh, Dad, can I please have some bread? No, we have bread available for them. And they can eat it. And they can enjoy it. It's a part of being in the family. But there are certain things that they're just expected to do because they're in the family. You know what I mean? You know, clean in the bathroom. That's exciting, right? Everybody wants to do that. It's one thing to clean the bathroom after your siblings. It's another thing to clean the Lord's bathroom. Does that make sense? So you get the opportunity to serve. We'll get into this a little bit more. Some people are like, well, that'll interrupt my life. Well, you know, Jesus had his life interrupted for you. Oh, that's a guilt trip. No. That's the truth. You know, we live in a culture today. If somebody hears something that anything that is contrary to what they want to hear, you're trying to make me do something I don't want to do. It's a guilt trip. Or maybe it's the truth, and you need to hear it, and you need to swallow it and take it in and be a man or a woman about it and handle it and take care of yourself. Amen? That's part of our culture. So the last thing is we see a church where people come to the place of sharing with others about the good life in Christ. You get close enough to Jesus, you won't be able to keep your mouth shut. It just won't happen. So we talked about getting in last week as far as being born again, and I shared about my testimony. So I want to share a little bit more about what happened to me as I moved along. Because I've been saved now and serving the Lord for about, 21 years, almost 22 years. I really gave my life to the Lord, and I talked about this last week, but when I was 19 years old. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:18. And Caleb, do you have the amplified version of that? I think you do. Go ahead and put that one up. 2 Peter 3:18 is where I'm going to go. And I have it, I'm going to read it here, but it says this. It says this, but grow in grace, undeserved favor, and spiritual strength. Now, I could teach a whole lot right there, but I'm not going to. But grace is more than just undeserved favor. It's spiritual strength, too. Okay? So it's both sides there. and recognition and knowledge and understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. To him be glory, honor, majesty, and splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen, or so be it. So we see a lot in this verse, but I want to bring this particular point out. One of the first things that I realized once I got born again is that not that just Jesus was my Savior, but he is my Lord. Does that make sense? A lot of people want fire insurance, but they don't want a Lord. In other words, I want to do whatever I want in this life, but and still go to heaven when I die. So I like the Savior part, but I don't like the Lord part. And if you're going to really develop spiritually and really experience the fullness of who God is and what God has for your life, you're going to have to grow. And until you grow and develop in those areas, what will happen is, it's just like in the natural. Have you ever met a 40-year-old that just doesn't take care of themselves? Come on, everybody's got a family member somewhere. I know I'm preaching to somebody. They are perpetually, physically, they're full grown. But emotionally and mentally, they're a child. Have you ever met somebody like that? How hard is that to be around? Oh, it is so difficult. Why? Because they were never, either they rejected the training that their parents gave them, or they never were trained properly. Now, you got to kind of discern between where it is, but some people just don't want to act like adults after they're adults. And what happens is you cause problems wherever you go. You know, it's like people having real struggle either at their work or different places. Sometimes it's legitimate, it's somebody else. But in this case, in dealing with somebody who's real immature, who doesn't take responsibility for themselves, who everybody's out to get them. Come on, I've had these employees before. You know, they show up consistently 20 minutes late. Well, I just can't live under these rules. Buddy, you're going to live under rules no matter where you go. And so they think, well, I need a change of atmosphere. I just need to move to a different state. I need to move to a different city. I need something different. And then they go there and they find out that they're there. You say, what do you mean by that? They're the problem. It isn't the surroundings most of the time. Most of the time, I've found that the greatest growth in my life has come the more I've dealt with me. The more I deal with me and allow the Lord to deal with me, the more change takes place in my life and the more of the blessing of God is manifested in my life. How many know it's really easy to make it everything else in your life but you? But see, growing people, and this is what happened to me, I started to get into the church and I'm going, and I just started to grow and develop in my relationship with the Lord, and I'm going, I think I'm the problem. You know, that's a real revelation. There are a lot of people around me that knew I was the problem. Okay? They were praying for me. I mean, I was such a blessing when I got saved. Heidi started dating me. I started dating Heidi. And I hunted her down. She didn't hunt me down, right? That's what happened. It really did happen that way. So, because remember, I went to camp to find girls. And so, this is before I saved. I found one. That's why you go to church camp. You didn't know that? If you're single and in high school, okay. So anyway, there is a dating service provided in the church. Some people thought it was eHarmony, but it's not. It's church camp. So anyway, so what was my thought? I totally lost my thought. I found out that I was my biggest. Oh, when I started dating Heidi, there were many of her friends that were church friends and others that were, they knew me before I got, before I gave my life to the Lord. And they told Heidi and they told others, you get Sean away from her. You know what I mean? And they were right. But I had really given my heart to the Lord. See, they only knew me from before. So my life changed. And as I was in the church and I began to grow and this process began to happen, I began to gain knowledge. I began to gain understanding about who my Savior was, but I also began to get understanding about Him being Lord over me. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You know, when the scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Now, the catch to that verse is you want to do it now, not later. See, people go, well, I'll just wait, you know, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll make him Lord someday. You don't want to wait, you want to do it now. Because see, in the when you're out of this life, after you're out of this life, people don't kneel on their own. They get a sword from an angel in the back of their leg, and then they kneel. There's going to be a whole lot of people. See, people refuse to deal and analyze with the inside of themselves. And whatever you decide to yield to in your heart is what you become permanently. Does that make sense? So if you sit and you think, well, it's the preacher. I can't stand the preacher. You hear what he said. I can't. The preacher often gets blamed for what God said. Did you know that? Now, if I'm just preaching my opinion, fine, throw it out. Throw it. Get rid of it. I don't care. I don't want you to follow my opinion anyway. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But if I'm giving you the word of God and there's a resistance in you to that, you need to deal with you. And you need to get before the Lord and go, okay, Lord, what am I doing here? What is going on? Because a lot of times people think, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. No, your inside world, your heart, you, the spirit, is a real world. There are real thoughts. There are real decisions. There are real imaginations and feelings and decisions that are being made on the inside of you. And that inside is only accessible to you and to God. In other words, I can't make you have a humble heart before God. All I can do is present the message. You have to decide. You have to make that decision. You're Lord, I'm not. You're Lord, I am not. And when you do that, what takes place is there's a change that begins to shift. There's a change that begins to happen. And God now is let into the inner circles of your innermost being. And He begins to help you make the decisions you need to make. And when your decisions are made by God, how many think they might be good? How many think they might lead you to a much greater place of blessing and intimacy with Him and blessing in your life on this earth? See, that's where you want to be. You don't want to be patty cake through Christianity. You know, sports teams, the greatest athletes playing at the highest levels, do you know what their coaches are like? Do you think at the end of training camp, when people are vying for positions, that we'll just use the Seahawks because I'm a Seahawks fan. You can forgive me later. Do you think that Pete Carroll starts going around going, here's a participation ribbon. Thanks for coming out. I know this is hitting home, isn't it? But we get into the church. Oh, you showed up today. Here's a participation ribbon. You put 50 cents in the offering? Because see, we make it about this to this. This is not my church. I did not call me to preach. I didn't even want to. But guess who's not my Lord? Me. So guess what I get to do? Whatever He asks me to do. And I do it with a good attitude. Why? He's my Lord. And there are no participation trophies at the end of this thing. Here's what God does. And this is what pro athletes get. God, at the end of our lives, puts everything together that we did and then lights it on fire. I am quoting to you a scripture. You think I'm not, but I am. And whatever is left, that's the reward. Now, everybody that's born again is going to make heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking beyond. I'm talking beyond what just salvation, getting into the pearly gates. Okay? That's Jesus' participation ribbon. And people go, well, that sounds a little bit rougher than what I heard. That's because you just didn't hear it all. And if in this church we grow, we develop. Now listen, here's the thing. People go, well, that's difficult. I know. But when you can bench 250 pounds in rep and you come against something that's heavy and difficult, what do you know? You got this. See, spiritually, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Spiritual things are coming against you and me all the time. You know why a lot of people crumble under nothing? You know, like they lose their patience and mind and everything over the person that didn't use their blinker in turning? Right? You know, I think it was Zach. Where are you at, Zach? The other day he posted on Facebook, you've heard of, what, Elf on a Shelf? But have you ever heard of a blinker? And it's true, you feel it, but when you're spiritually strong, you'll have patience and you'll just settle. What I'm presenting to you in this growth scriptures, in this idea, this thought here, is not just, oh, that's just hard. Listen, it's hard on your flesh, but your heart is going, I think that'll work. Why? Because God's ministering to you. It will work. It will work. Brother Hagin used to say to us, he'd say, you know, walking in love in a marriage is the best thing ever. He said, you really walk in the love of God? He said, your house will be heaven on earth. Your house will be heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. Can you imagine? Heaven on earth. Why? Because you have a husband and a wife who both love the Lord. You have a husband and wife that are working together and they're not fighting with each other and trying to kill each other. You know, this is marriage counseling portion of the sermon, just so you know. It's good for me too. And you're walking in the love of God and you're living like you're supposed to. And you have that place where you're functioning together. And you're moving forward together, the blessing of God is there. Amen? People say, well, what if my spouse isn't saved? Well, then you sanctify them. Congratulations. Don't give up. The Bible says that the unbelieving spouse is sanctified by the believing spouse. What does that mean? Well, I'll give you the Jesse Duplantis version of that verse. That means that the Holy Spirit in you is going, bam, 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 on the other person's head, going, get saved, get saved. We're like, I don't know if I like that. The Holy Spirit convicts those who don't believe in Jesus. It's what he does. He convicts them. So you sanctify, not only that, the believing spouse sanctifies the kids. Isn't that great? They're set apart no matter what the unbeliever does. God's given you avenues and ways. Avenues and ways. So Lord simply means supreme in authority. It means master or sir. I love this. To whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has the power of deciding, master or Lord. Well, I don't know if I want to go to that church. What did the Lord say? People will come and wander into the church based on all sorts of things. They're invited. They saw the sign. They're new in town. You know, all this type of stuff. Maybe they've never been to church before. They'll wander into a place and get born again. But as you grow and develop in the Lord, how you make decisions should be based on what he told you. Not the color of the chairs, not the color of the LED lights that are in the background, or how tall or short the Christmas tree is, or whether it takes up more space and we can't put the drums up or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not based on what year the church was built, whether it has an industrial look, or not based on how long the service is or isn't. When you grow and develop, you find out, oh, wait a minute. I can walk with the Lord close and he'll decide all sorts of things for me. And when you obey and you walk close with him, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And you know what that word reward means, right? It means pay back. Literally in the Greek, it means payback. God will pay you back. And we all know what Mike's been teaching on about overflow and too much, and he doesn't understand. Jesus, his depth perception is off. Because he says, hey, boys, you catch any fish? And the disciples say, no, I haven't caught anything. He said, just throw your net on the other side. Come on, they're in a boat. Who knows how big? They've been throwing on this side the whole time. Some people's lives are like that. They're like, no, it didn't pull anything up that time. Throw on the other side.
You understand what I'm saying?
People are like, that means all the fish are going, look at them. They're underneath in the water. There goes the net again. And they're on the other side of the boat. There it is. There it goes back up. And they're going, this guy's an idiot. So he, I thought they were professionals. Yeah, me too. And then God says, hey, they're hiding on the other side. So they throw the net on the other side. And what happens? They catch so much fish, the boat sinks. Did God know how much fish was there? Does he know the physical dimensions of the boat? Does he know the weight, capacity-wise, that with so many fishermen inside the boat, plus the fish and the net, the level that it's going to put that, the stress it's going to put on that boat? Does he know all that? And yet he still does what? Sinks it. He sinks it. Why? Because that's who he is. But you've got to work with him. He's got to be your Lord. Amen? You've got to develop and grow, and you do that in a church family. I learned that I needed, as I was growing and developing, not only was he my Lord, but I learned that I needed a church family. I need a place to grow. Why? For one, I lost all my friends. So I thought, man, the church, they're supposed to love everybody. They'll probably be my friend. You know what I mean? I learned that. You need a church family. You need to be able and be in a church family. You need to be a part of it. Why? Because it holds you accountable. And you develop spiritually by having fellowship with other believers, by hearing the teaching of the word, by being a part of what's going on. Well, yeah, but we just don't have time. You don't have time to do what God wants you to do. You need to, again, make adjustments in your life so that you can do and be what he's called you to be. If God's called you to something, you do not want to shrug it off like, oh yeah, you know, that's something God said, but, you know, I think I know better. You got to be careful with that. You get into these things and there are all sorts of thoughts that go through people's minds. And I, now that I've been in ministry for just a few years, I've heard about everything. That minister, they just want your money. Actually, God does. Okay? It's not me. I didn't write the giving scriptures. See, I wasn't around when this was written. And we have like 1,200 documents to prove that. Okay? I wasn't around. Or they think, well, you know, they just want more people in the chairs. Well, yeah, we want more people in the chairs. But not because of my ego. Because I want you to experience what I experienced. Because Jesus desires to live in you big, to change your life. He desires you so much. He desires a relationship with you so much. God does, that he was willing to give up his own son and send him to hell for you. This is not about church size or numbers or church growth programs in the sense of, you know, all these different things that we've come up with. It's not about just having and seeing a lot of people and shaking a lot of hands. This is the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between you developing like you're supposed to spiritually and you just staying stagnant and never fulfilling what God had planned for your life. It's the difference between light and dark. And people don't realize this, but it translates out to everything. It affects your family. You know, people talk about, I love my family. Family is the most important thing to me. If God is not number one in your life, you do not love your family the way you're supposed to. There is no way that you can do it because you as a person do not have the capacity in and of yourself to love the way that God does. You need his love in you first. Come on. You have to have it. You need a church family. You need to be connected. You need pastors. You need apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. You need all five of those gifts. Why? Because Ephesians says so. That they may bring the word of God. This is what I'm doing this morning. I'm bringing you the word of God. People say, well, I wish it was an easier, lighter message. I don't see weak people sitting in front of me. I see strong, ready to go, spiritually developing people in front of me. I do not want a church, and God does not want a church that is weak and feeble and flimsy. Every little thing knocks them off course. Every little thing takes them away from what he's called them to do. He wants a strong, developed church. If, again, I got to take this back to sports. If you want to be at the level of an NFL player, you need an NFL trainer. Spiritually, it's no different. Spiritually, it's no different. It's the same. We have a culture that has been patty-caked into weakness. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? How are we? And a church culture that in many cases is very anemic spiritually. Some of it's the minister's fault. Sometimes you just have rebellious sheep. You know what I mean? Sometimes it just happens. But either way, in this church, we grow spiritually. Why? Because we hear what's being said, and then we put it into practice in our lives. And as we do, we develop the way we're supposed to. Because church is not about entertainment. Did you know that? It's about development. It's about growing spiritually. Lastly, we'll end with this. You guys have done well. You should pat yourself. Just go ahead and pat yourself on the back. Charlie's not here this morning, but normally he walks in and he goes, brought my hard hat today, Sean. He knows me all too well. I think we should get him a cowboy hat that has a hard hat underneath it. I appreciate it. Why? What is he telling me? One, he's telling me he wants to be challenged. But two, he's telling me, hey, you're doing good as a leader. Keep going. Thirdly, I learned that my body needed to be disciplined and my mind needed to be transformed. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God that you make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, and intelligent service and spiritual worship. Verse number 2, Romans 12:2. Did I read 2 there? No, I did not. Do you have 2? Can you put 2 up? There we go. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, there are 2 things going on here. I needed to give my body to righteousness. My spirit was born again. My mind is still screwed up. How many figured out you had the same mind after you got saved? I had a messed up mind. I could go into detail about how messed up my mind was, but I won't. It was messed up. You say, what changed that? The renewing of the Word of God. What changed the actions that you did? I submitted my physical body to God's Lordship, to Jesus' Lordship over my life. So I didn't just make Jesus the Lord of my heart. I made Him the Lord of my mind, and I made Him the Lord of my body. So now I only do with my body what God wants me to do with my body. And people often say, well, what is that? Well, let's read. Romans 6:13 says this, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So now I'm not double-fisting brewskis. I'm shaking hands and greeting people at church. I'm being a blessing to somebody. I'm buying food for somebody at a restaurant. I'm being a blessing. I'm opening the door for somebody instead of slamming it in their face. I'm not opening a car door to get out and beat the person that didn't use their blinker in front of me anymore. I'm now opening the door for the lady that needs help so she can get out of her car and helping her to where she needs to go. I'm no longer stepping on the gas to get to the parking spot before the person because I want the front row and I deserve the front row. I'm a Christian. You ain't near the Christian you think you is. I'm now hitting the brake and giving that to the person who's a mom who's there with 5 kids trying to get, come on. I could tell a story on my dad right now. I'm gonna. He ain't here. He can't defend himself. When we were a kid, we were going to the mall, and we had a sweet 1978 station wagon. Chevy Impala. Pure white. Red imitation leather interior. When you sat on it in the summer, you stuck. When you sat on it in the winter, it cracked. It was awesome. It was my first car. Had a V8 engine in it. It could go. Rear-wheel drive, because you know they didn't make anything front-wheel back then. And we're going to the mall, and there's these two old ladies. We're going to get a parking spot, and my dad's sitting there with his blinker on waiting, and the ladies are not there yet. And of course, the person backs out and then takes off. Well, they pulled in when she was backing out. Of course, she's here blocking us because we're coming this way. And then this other person, these two old ladies come in this way, and they pull right into a spot. My dad got out of the car and made them move. He was not in the spirit that day. I'm going, guess that's how you do it. We're supposed to yield our members as instruments of righteousness, not unrighteousness. You know, you get like Black Friday. You watch, oh my goodness. That's my TV. They're going to make more. They'll have another sale. My goodness. And I'm not talking about unsaved. I'm talking about saved people. They act like they're in faith because they got there first. That the Lord told me that's my TV. You didn't hear from the Holy Ghost because love would just yield and go, you know what? God will take care of me. Mature believers do not make old ladies get out of their parking spot, even though you were there first. Galatians 5:16. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Your body has a sinful nature, and you got to stop it. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under the obligation of the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, now listen to this, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. In other words, I think that covers it. I'm under grace. I'm under grace. You don't understand what grace is. Grace is not just getting into heaven. It's an empowerment from the Spirit. I mean, you know how rare it is I ever hear this verse preached? Everything these days is about how to get something you personally want that's natural. There's no real depth of relationship in holiness and righteousness before God. Or how you can, it seems like today that the church as a whole has worked on finding ways to make it easier to live in the flesh rather than in the Spirit. Listen, guys. God authored all of this. All of it. Do you know what happens? I'll just go back to this. I'm going to end with this. But I'll just go back to this. After I got saved, do you know what I was doing before I got saved? Buddy, I could party. I could party. I got friends that are still around. They'll testify. They think I'm weird now, but that's okay. I don't mind. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I like my life. You know, I have no divorce or breakups and get back together with my wife anymore. You know that? You know that people say, you never have a disagreement. Oh, no, I didn't say that. Of course we do. Two different people, two different minds, two different wills. Come on. We walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. You know what I mean? We don't throw plates at each other. I don't like that idea. duck. You know what I mean? None of that. People say, well, we do that in our house. Stop it. Use the fruit of the Spirit that's in you. You're stronger than that in the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'm not pointing at anybody, okay? I'm just, you're stronger. No, I'm not doing that. I'm just pointing, okay, in general. People are like, oh, I wonder if he knows something. I know nothing. Okay, I've done, there's not been any recent marriage counseling or any of that. So, where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, my testimony. So, I mean, I think I told this in prayer a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. But I'm going to share this with you. Now, this is not me bragging. This is me telling you how bad off I was and how my life has changed. At one point, I got in so much trouble, my dad just kicked me out of the house. So I went and lived with a friend because his mom was unwise enough to let me live there. And I just lived in their basement. I mean, I just, you know, they rolled out of bed. You know what I mean? I had no place to go. Because, you know, you get kicked out of your house, you're still in high school, you're not, you know. So I thought it was the best thing in the world for about a little bit. And but in the process of that, while living there, I had this group of friends, and we'd party together. We'd do, you know, I mean, I remember, I don't even want to share that. Some of the stuff because it just doesn't matter. But I'll finish it up with this story. So at one point, I got in a disagreement with my friend's sister. And really, all it was over was a CD. How many remember what a CD is? They're not as popular anymore because of pod MP3s and all that. But anyway, I had a CD of hers, and I knew where it was, and I just haven't given it to her back. Well, she got upset about it, and so we were standing, and there's all sorts of things that had gone on, but we're standing in the living room in this house where I was at, and I said, look, I'll get you the CD back. Well, she didn't like that, so she slapped me in the face. She just cocked back, and boom. These were the people I hung with, okay? Men and women. How many ever seen, women can get into some fights? But anyway, not usually with men, though. So she did that. Well, that set me off. Of course, I have no God in my life. You know what I mean? It's just whatever I feel in the moment, that's what I'm doing. So I went to take a swing at her. I cocked back to take a swing at her. Well, the lady that I was living with ran. She was there. She came out because I was giving this girl a lecture on, with many adjectives on why she should not have slapped me. And the mom ran and jumped. And she wrapped her arms around my arms, so I'm like this. She had my arms down, so I couldn't swing. And then she wrapped her legs around my legs. So I'm like, you know, like this. I'm a sitting duck, you know what I mean? And I started to pull forward because I was going to break out of this because I was just in a flat rage, you understand? Now, you look at me today and you go, how could that be? Oh, it's simple. Just get God out of your life. There are people in prison today because they never learned the self-control of God. They didn't yield. And so she went to stop me like that. Well, of course, I'm pulling forward. Now, I'm soaking wet, 165 pounds at this time. Okay? I'm a little bit more than that now. And so I'm pulling forward. And so what she did is the couch was behind. She just rocked back like that. And I went with her, and then she just laid on the couch and locked everything. You know what I mean? She just locked me down. I could not move. And I wanted to kill this girl. You know what I mean? She slapped me for no reason, you know, over a CD or whatever. So I feel justified in this stupidity. And in the process of that, my best friend, who is her younger brother, gets to her. And you would think that the younger brother would defend the sister, right? Nope. He whooped her. He got to her. Now, it got broken up. But he was raised in a house like that. And so all these things, this was my life. This is no life. This is no life at all for me. Now, keep in mind, this was 22 years ago, this story that I'm sharing, maybe 23. So then when I got saved and I started dating Heidi, you can understand why the people around were going, no, no, you can't be with that guy. But I had a change of heart. Did you know There's not enough counseling in the world to change a heart. It takes the Holy Spirit. And so what you say, what has that got to do with anything? Thus, see, because you see me today. You see me now. You didn't see me then. Mike saw me then. Jody saw me then. I have witnesses. I keep them here just for that purpose. Mike mentored me when I got saved. He was one person that was like, he walked in the love of God at an amazing level. But he's like, I'll be Sean's friend. He needs it. And I did, man. I needed it. But I had to change everything. I had to come out of that group. I had to find new friends. I had to get into a new atmosphere and a new place. I had to get inside of a family that loved and taught faith and believed God. That would listen to worship music instead of rap music. That would listen to godly, holy things rather than just garbage. Because whatever goes in is coming out. And people say, well, why in the world would you try and beat up a girl? I would never do that. You know, people say that. Just listen to some of the music that's available. Just let your kids listen to whatever they want. And whatever kind of music they want, and see what comes out of them. Well, now you're preaching religious rules. No, no. I'm preaching life or death. If they listen to womanizing, all I want is money and another girl music all day long, as a guy, what's going to be in their head? This whole world of mine had to change. And you know what? There were times where I thought like, man, I got to go do something. This Christian thing is too boring, but I just stayed the course. You cannot pay me to go back. My life today, whoo, it is so much better. You say, oh, your circumstances are perfect. No, my Jesus is perfect. I'm in a great place. And I have been through the ringer more than once. But I had Jesus in the valley. And my life completely changed. I no longer freak out and try and beat girls up. Even if they hit me. And I've had some recent tests. Not from my wife. But you don't want to mess with her, I'll just say that. No. No, not from my wife. But you know, I figured this out, and you could probably tell. Not everybody likes hearing about God, nor do they agree with everything that's taught. So I've had people come at me. But you know what? I love them. I'm going to pray for them. And people say, oh, you don't have irritated feelings anymore. Oh, yeah, I still have irritated feelings. But I don't go by my feelings. I don't go by my natural. I go by my spirit because I've renewed my mind and disciplined my body. See, men of God are not strong to enforce their will over others. They're strong to serve and to lead. And to put themselves in front, protect somebody behind. Put me between the enemy of this person and them and the enemy. Why? That's why I am who I am. That's why I'm spiritually the way I am. I choose, because Jesus is this way, to put myself in between an enemy to my kids or my family. Does that make sense? I defend them. Why? God in me. God's that way. You change, you develop, you grow. Well, what happens if I lose all my friends? You'll lose them, but God will give you more. And there'll be an influence of good in your life, not evil. Amen. Well, I need to get them saved. You're not strong enough probably yet. I realized real quick, I'll tell another story of my father-in-law. Stand. Stand with me, please. Please, please, please. If you stand, I'll quit. Thanks, guys. You're doing good. My father-in-law said to me when I first got saved, he's been such a help to me over the years. My in-laws have, big time. But he said to me, he said, yeah, when I first got saved, Sean, I went to tell all my friends about it and we all got high. People say, oh, don't say stuff like that. Come on. This is real life. People act like they, you know, they come to church and they fluff everything. You know, they paint it all up. Well, at least the girls do. They paint it all up and they, you know, they act like they don't have a life outside of here. Oh, we love you. Oh, we love you. Praise the Lord, sister. I could tell you stories that make your hair curl or go straight if it's already curly. He said, I went to get him. We all got high together. So he realized, though, he couldn't go back into that environment anymore. I realized I couldn't go back into that environment. My Friday nights, my Saturday nights had to be something else. So I found something else. I had one other friend that got saved. We hung out a lot. He was also the one that was beating up his sister for me. We're both saved today. We have not beat anybody else up since. All of our siblings are bruise free. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear what I'm saying to you this morning? Do you hear what the Spirit of God's saying to you this morning? You're going to grow if you're in the right environment. You got to be planted and stay put. And as you do, you'll grow. And the blessing of God will be on your life. You won't regret it. I'm telling you right now, you won't regret it if you stay with Him. Amen? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence that was here so strong. Lord, we purpose to be not just hearers, but doers of your word. So Lord, show us, reveal to us what it is that we need to change and rearrange in our lives. We'll do it for you and just because we love you. And Father, we'll fight off the temptations of the enemy and those things that are contrary to what you want us to do. And Lord, as we move forward, we know that you will reward us because you said you reward those who diligently seek you. And so we thank you for it, and we bless you, and we thank you today for a good day. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Well, God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday night.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.